Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you for taking the time to come and join with me. Today we're looking at Psalm 23, the most, well probably the most well-known of all of the Psalms. It's loved by saints, it's loved by sinners, it's made its way into popular culture, into movies, into music, into literature. I doubt there would be many people of sort of, you know, the middle age to older generations who in Western world who do not know some part of Psalm 23. And so what I want to do today is to go through it and just paint a picture for you, that overall picture, if you would, to help you just maybe go a little bit deeper into your knowledge and your understanding of who your shepherd is, the good shepherd, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. I want to go through it and paint this picture so you can see both God's part, but also your part in this beautiful picture. And if you would, maybe I can use an illustration, which you may have seen. We often see pictures and paintings and photos on the walls at our homes, friends' homes, galleries and so on. But have you ever seen one of those three paned pictures? One, two, three. They're very, very separate and yet together they are one part. That's the kind of picture I want to paint for you today. To picture this, as you will see in three different sections. Picture one, picture two, picture three. And as we go through it, let's look at those things and where we are in them in this modern time. Because Psalm 23, it's a psalm of David written during that time. Now, whether David was a shepherd boy when he wrote it, whether he was a king when he wrote it, or maybe in the caves being persecuted by Saul, we don't know. It doesn't actually say. Myself, I think perhaps likely towards, you know, that sort of middle end of his time, but it doesn't say. So Psalm 23, we will see as we go through this, it is both a psalm for the individual, for any or all time, but it's also, as it was written, a psalm for the people of Israel. It is a psalm for the people, the members, us, Christians, followers in the body of Christ. It is a psalm for us also, just as relevant then as it is to us now. And this is the picture that I want to paint as we go. And so I'm going to ask two things, if I can, before we begin. Number one is that you have in front of you, please, if you have one, a paper Bible. And number two, the reason for that is because I know, I spent many years in theatre learning lines. I know that we remember things easily, more easily, if we have them in front of us in paper with this sort of tactile response of being able to hold. In my case, I can feel the weight of the Bible. I'm okay with making annotations and notes within the columns. Doesn't matter if you are or if you're not, but I know that if I need to remember a scripture, I can go, yes, hang on, here's the scripture. Where do I find that? Oh, hang on, I made a note. In the top right-hand corner. Yes, all right, and it's in the book of Isaiah. So let's go through. I can find that much more easily. And I'd like to challenge you, perhaps, to spend a little time, if you would, to learn, to memorize Psalm 23. Why? Simply this. I said it earlier. This is a psalm for all people who follow Christ for all times. I believe, if you haven't had it already, there is very likely going to be a time in your life when you will need these words. We see here three different pictures which the psalm paints for us. We see provision, we see protection, and we see presence. God's presence with us. God's provision, God's protection, and God's presence. There is, without a shadow of a doubt, going to be a time when you will need the words of this psalm to comfort you, to bring that peace, to lead you by the still waters, as we'll read in one moment. And when we learn it, when we commit it to memory, as the interesting, the very first verse I ever learned, the very first verse that I was asked to commit to memory, Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word I have kept in my heart, or hidden in my heart, depending on the translation, so that I might not sin against you. Speaking to the Lord. When we commit these things to heart, 10 minutes a day for 10, maybe 12 days, and then 5 minutes a day for the next month or so after that, I know you can. So I challenge you to maybe do that as well as we go through. But grab your pen, grab your paper. Let's have a quick look at this beautiful, beautiful Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. I'm going to read the first section and we'll have a few notes on it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. I love this. For his name's sake. Now, the very first thing that I want to just illustrate, and remember, we're going to take these three different panes, these three different sections of this overall painting. We want to look for both where is God in this picture and where are we. So this first one, it's very, very clear. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, depending on which sort of Hebrew version you're looking at, you will see here Yahweh, Yahweh, or also you will see Jehovah in the original Hebrew. Now, I haven't got it here with me at the moment, but I have an old interlinear Bible. I think it was published in 76, somewhere thereabouts. And I looked it up and it says Jehovah, as we would say in the English. Yet, I also found it curious and interesting as we look at this first line, the Lord is my shepherd. We understand that as God. That talking with a friend, a Christian Jew, they would say, Adonai is my shepherd. In fact, I actually have it here. They had it write it down for me. I have it just here. Mizmor le David, a psalm of David. Adonai roi lo echsar. Adonai, why? Simply because they understand the holiness of God. They have this respect for the holiness and the righteousness of God. And in their culture, cannot say Jehovah. So they would say Adonai. So first point, the Lord God. God, who we would read in Revelations, I think it's chapter 4, with the living creatures by the throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. How beautiful. It says, who was and is to come. And they repeat it over and over again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Listen to that. Who was, who is to come. We see this beautiful, again, the Trinity of Trinities, like the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And here we see three again in this beautiful, beautiful psalm, God's provision, God's protection, and God's presence. And this is the first thing I want you to take home from this. Holy is our God, and He is our shepherd. That is assuming, of course, you are a follower of Christ. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. I understand that my shepherd, like the shepherd of old, he looks after me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He takes me from pasture to pasture. And that was the nomadic life of a shepherd in David's time. Very different to now. Now we have farms and we have borders and we have fences and we have feed. No, not so much then. Then it was, we have a pasture, let's rest. We have some water, let's rest. Let's restore our batteries. Let's get fed. The shepherd would take the sheep from place to place to place. And isn't that what God does with us? Now, do the sheep know where they are going next? No, simple creatures. How many times are we led by our great shepherd? And we don't know where we're going. But the sheep have ultimate faith, trust in their shepherd, because they just know as they know, that he will provide for them. Now, here's the thing, though. Sheep, not the smartest of animals. Same as us. Well, let's just talk about me. In this analogy, this beautiful picture, we see pain number one of a shepherd and his sheep in the green pastures with the water. Picture that if you can. For me as a sheep, I'm certainly not one of the smartest ones. I have not been. I haven't always followed the words of the shepherd. I've done my own thing. I've walked off the path. I've run away at times, and these things have brought anger, These things have brought sorrow. These things have brought shame. They have brought grief and pain and all manner of evil into my life, even to those around me. But my shepherd protected me, as we'll see in this next section coming up shortly. And so the first thing, the take home for us here from this, we need to trust in God's provision. We need to encourage each other to trust our God for our needs, both physical, spiritual, and emotional. If we reflect on the words, and I've got a bookmark just here, Matthew 6, you know this, verse 31, therefore Jesus said, do not worry. What shall we eat, you say? What shall we drink? Or saying, what shall we wear? Verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father, your shepherd, he knows that you have need of these things. So therefore, here's our instruction. Verse 33, therefore seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto. All the sheep have to do when the shepherd is guiding them from place to place is follow. That's literally it. All they have to do is follow him. And Jesus finishes off verse 34 of Matthew 6, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient are the troubles for the day. And the sheep do not worry about tomorrow. They really don't. And we know from John 10 that Jesus, for us now, is the good shepherd. The good shepherd, he said, lays down his life for the sheep. And his sheep hear his voice, because this relationship between shepherd and sheep that we see in this first picture, it is perfect. The sheep love, they trust their shepherd. So for us now, men of Christ, how do we stay close to our shepherd? We need to hear. We need to engage in regular prayer. We need to engage in regular reading of the Bible. We need to engage in regular fellowship with the saints. And I'm not saying that all of the sheep got along. No, but they followed the shepherd and they're all in the same flock. Verse 4, let's continue on. Just this one verse is a whole painting and picture on its own. It's the second pane in this threefold picture. Yes, yea, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I want to just pick up that little bit at the end there to start. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. I did a little bit of research on this because I don't know why. Somewhere in my past, from my childhood, I have this picture. I think it was a book maybe that I owned. And, you know, little Bo Peep, who had lost her sheep. But little Bo Peep had a staff with this sort of, I don't know, a hook on the end of it. And that's actually the staff and the rod from here combined into one. Because what we see here is a staff which the shepherd would carry. Obviously, if you know anything about the topography of Israel, there are many rocky areas, there are mountains, there are valleys, and sometimes if you're traveling from pasture to pasture, you would need to go through one of these valleys. Interesting that. Notice that, through the valley, not around it, not under it, not over it, through the difficulties for us, not around it, not under it, not over it, through, with, however, with the shepherd. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. And it works simply like this. The staff was there, also used often just to help guide the sheep. If one of the young ones, the lamb, would run off, I spoke about this on a video in Luke chapter 15, I believe, the parable of the lost sheep. It was not uncommon if you had a wayward sheep, a lamb that would run away time and time again, the shepherd would get it, bring it back, get it, bring it back. All right, no more. We're not doing that anymore. And would use the staff and just wrap it across the ankle or the shin. And maybe, if necessary, even do it hard enough as to just break the shin. Not to damage the sheep in such a way that it would die, but for correction. Because then the shepherd would pick it up and would carry it on his shoulders. And the and this little lamb would become so close, hearing his voice all the time when the leg was healed, that this little lamb would never, ever, ever leave the shepherd. Always there, listening for this voice. This is the staff which is used for correction and guidance. And we know from Scripture, we know that correction, it's never pleasant for a time. But we also know that God corrects those whom he loves, his sheep. The rod, however, something different, a smaller staff, if you would, a smaller piece of wood, maybe no longer than the length of an arm, with the hook carved into it at the end, or just a bulb. It was a weapon. It was used to destroy an enemy. It was used to throw and to pin and to break the skull of an enemy. And there were many enemies in this time. We know from David's time of lions, and we know of bears, and we know that there were wolves in the area, and we know from history that there were jackals, even some leopards that were native to this area. There were some enemies around, the predators. And here we go now to the picture, this second column in these 1, 2, 3. This second column, we see a deep valley with the mountains rising, and we see a shepherd, and we see him guiding the sheep through the valley, and we can see dark shadows on either sides of this valley. And these shadows, these are where the predators would wait, looking for that one sheep that was walking away outside of the flock, away from the protection of the shepherd. This is where the predators would wait, just like the enemy waits for us. Yes? Absolutely. So we need to lean on God's protection. We need to lean on his protection in times of fear or danger, and remember that God, our shepherd. Scripture calls God and Jesus both the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, our Lord, our Savior. We need to remember that God is with us. He's providing both protection and comfort. I have a note here, Isaiah 40. Again, I bookmarked these because it's easy to come through. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Perhaps jot it down, come back and have a look later. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now that's a promise. That's a promise that we can hang on to. Yes? So we need to remember God's protection. We must be looking out also for each other, acting as protection, protectors. If you see someone, you know, stumbling, moving off from that path, let them know, hey, brother, it's okay. Come back. We can help with this thing. Come and talk to, you know, one of the elders. Come and talk to someone in leadership. Let us pray for you. What can we do? Let's be guiding each other. Let's be helping each other along the way. Very much akin to that shepherd's care. So we've seen the first pain, the first part of the picture, our shepherd's protection. We can see ourselves in that picture. We are the sheep, and the shepherd, of course, is God. We see in the second pain, the second part of this picture, the second column, we see, sorry, provision first, protection second. We see ourselves again as the sheep, and the shepherd is guiding us through the valley. Now we come into the third part. Let me read this for you. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen to that. Here we see now God's presence in this picture, this third picture. I don't want you to see a sheep. I want you to see you. You there in the house of the Lord. And in my mind, for whatever reason, I picture, I don't know why, I picture just it's a drawing, not a painting, not a sketch, but, you know, a colored drawing, illustrated digital art. I work in the digital arts area. And I see a table like maybe was, you know, with the men feasting around it. And I see Jesus, actually. Not as we would picture Jesus from something like the Last Supper, but I just see Jesus there at that table also. We are at his place, at his table. That's the picture I have in my mind. What kind of picture can you have where you are in that picture? That's what I want you to see. In John 14, 18, I want you to understand this. This is not just a picture of the future. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And he was talking, as it says in the previous section just there, about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in our religion, in our religiosity, we think, yes, when I get to heaven, I'll be with God. Folks, if you fall into that way of thinking, you've missed it, because God is now with you. Assuming we are able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, that we have accepted Christ, that we have come before him in repentance and faith. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I guess in a small way, just the tiniest way, we could even think about this each and every time we take communion and we take these emblems symbolic of the blood and the body of Christ. In a sense, it's not at a table, but we can picture this. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives around us, we can come to Christ at any time to this table. And though the enemies may be encamped all around, it matters not. But what are the enemies these days, really? Well, we spoke about it last month. Fear. That's probably the number one enemy, fear. Because when fear comes in, it pushes aside and replaces faith. And fear produces worry, which produces anxiety, which produces stress, which can produce illness, and illness can produce fear. But you, Lord, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, the oil of joy for mourning. So often in Scripture, oil being representative of the Holy Spirit. And my cup runs over. I have more than enough. That is why I have no need to want, to desire of more. And when we put Christ first, things start to happen. When we embrace God's presence with us, when we encourage each other to grow and we cultivate an awareness of God's presence through worship, through prayer, through daily life, reflecting on scriptures like Psalm 16, that we find joy in the presence of the Lord. And that the joy of the Lord, what, is our strength. And so I encourage you to be present for others. This was my message for this Saturday. That we might be encouraging to others, to build others up in faith. Just as God is with us, we need to remind others who are falling into fear, stepping away from God's protection because they're not following the shepherd. They're heading towards the shadows in the valley. No. Come back to the table. Come back to the table and sit in the presence. Here is the food. This is the bread of life, the Bible says. Jesus himself said it. Excuse me. We need to be pointing others back to the love of God always at all times. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, folks, if we had more time, we could go so much deeper on this. But let me finish with just this very simple thing. We see these three beautiful pictures, 1, 2, and 3, of God's provision and his protection and his presence with us in our lives. We see it in here, 1, 2, and 3, clearly. But have a look also for me at this. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down. Who? He. Listen to this. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is this. We can see he, God, Jesus, our shepherd. But then we enter into relationship and we grow and we take that. What is our next step? Verse 4. For you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me as if he were right next to you. You prepare. You anoint my head with oil. And there we go. Now it becomes so personal. I shall not want. I will fear no evil. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is this not what you want? This is not just our heavenly hope. This is what God would have for us now. Provision, protection, and presence. And so now I want you just to picture in your mind as we finish up. We have these pictures. The first one, the first panel, the shepherd and the sheep. So yes, we are in this, the sheep, and the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus, the great shepherd. This second panel, we see here protection, the deep valleys and the shadows and the shepherd guiding his sheep through. And then we see this beautiful meal. For me, it's men at a table and Jesus is there. You know, also, if you're standing looking at the wall and you can see these, where is God also? He is looking back too. See, for you and me, we can only see 1, 2, and 3. But God is God. He is both with us. He is in the picture. He is standing at us with us looking at the picture. He is standing behind us looking at the whole wall. And he can see both the additional pictures before and the additional pictures afterwards. For he sees that whole picture living outside of time, guiding us, providing for us, protecting us, and now comes to dwell within through the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. And he is asking you to come and join him at his table. All you have to do is follow him. Follow him, listen to his voice as a sheep to the shepherd. And indeed, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Folks, thank you so much for joining with me. Again, I encourage you, commit these words to memory. Commit them to your heart. Take them from the head. Put them into the heart. For they will be peace to your soul, joy to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.